Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you will enjoy listening.
So then tonight's particular topic is how to make ourselves happy using inner peace. First, we have to kind of understand what is inner peace. So there's the inner peace that comes from an absence of distraction and disturbances, like we just did in a breathing meditation, where we get kind of the turbulence and volatility and whatever's going on to just stop, right? And then we experience some peace, some spaciousness. That's one example of inner peace. But inner peace has many shapes and colors. Like, it's not just an absence of negative thoughts or busy thoughts. It also is any kind of positive or virtuous mind. So we say a cause of inner peace is virtue. So any kind of positive intention or view, it gives rise to peace. So there's different kind of flavors to peace. The example I like to give is, if you have a piano, it can play all different types of music, right? It will play music. That's what a piano does. It makes sound. But it's not like the piano dictates what kind of sound, right? The piano can play classical, it can play jazz, it can play, rock, it can play all kinds of things, chopsticks, right? It can play everything. the keys of that piano. So it's the same thing. Our mind, can produce many different types of happiness. Our peaceful minds can create many different types of happiness. So we have the peace coming from a breathing meditation. We have peace coming from minds like love, peace that comes from acceptance, peace that comes from faith, peace that comes from compassion, peace that comes from wisdom. So many, many different minds that create, or we can say are synonymous with, inner peace. And what we need to understand is how to deliberately cultivate those minds, because that is how we can make ourselves happy. So for this to work, I think we have to begin to kind of think, what do we think will make us happy? Like, where do we believe happiness comes from, or happiness is going to be found? Because I think a very common misconception is that happiness is found outside of ourselves, that there is a something or someone or some place that is going to make me happy, and I just have to find it. It's like life is just a giant treasure hunt to find the people and things that will fulfill me permanently, give me some elated sense of, joy or happiness that is everlasting. And I need just to find those things, procure those things, like possess those things, and then hold on to them, like make sure I don't lose them. And then that's when happiness will be achieved, which sounds kind of exhausting, actually, when you think about it. And from our own experience, we can see that's not true. We think happiness is something that we can't find within ourselves, but is found outside of ourselves. Then what are the repercussions of that? We're trying to control externals when we can't. We try to control people who we can't control. We try to control outcomes that we have no power to control. Or if we think happiness comes from outside of ourselves, then we develop a lot of longing and craving, searching for but not finding the satisfaction we desire. That's exhausting, right? So again, if we have this view that happiness is something outside of me, then our pursuit of happiness becomes a solely external approach. So say today we want to be happy. What's our approach to being happy today? Is it just solely an external approach? Like tomorrow we wake up, tomorrow we want to be happy. We want it to be a good day. What's our approach to that? What's our approach to tomorrow being a good day? Is it that we're waiting for people and things to be good, for us to have a good day? Like we're waiting for things to go our way, or we're waiting for everything to meet our, preferences. Because otherwise, it's not in our control, is it? If tomorrow's a good day or not, we have no control. Like, I don't know. So if we think, actually, happiness depends upon my mind, then any day can be a good day. We can make any day a good day. Even when things are not going our way and they're not going as planned and they're not going easily, it doesn't mean it can't be a good day. It's just the mental approach we have to those things. So I think that there's a lot of freedom in the view that it is definitely within our power to make ourselves happy. And it's not anyone else's job other than our job to make us happy. You know, my teacher, Geshe Kelsang, he always said this phrase, almost like a mantra. He would say, we should say to ourselves, I myself will make myself happy. I myself will make myself happy. I myself will make myself happy. Because when we're unhappy, often it's because we're thinking other people should make us happy. You know, or something should make us happy. And so we're unhappy. Why? Because we've given that job away to somebody who can't do that job. Only we can do that job. So there's a section in the chapter on inner peace in the beginning of How to Transform Your Life that talks a little bit about this view. It says, we usually believe external conditions such as food, friends, cars, and money are the real causes of happiness. And as a result, we devote nearly all our time and energy to acquiring them. Superficially, it seems that these things can make us happy, but if we look more deeply, we will see that they also bring us a lot of suffering and problems. I think we can also see that, you know, maybe if we believe this is where we're going to find happiness, conditions such as, you know, good food or friends or cars or money, then what happens when we can't acquire them? Then we think we can't be happy. Like, we've made that decision. Why? I can't be happy because I don't have enough money. I'm poor. Or I can't be happy because I don't have, you know, stuff or nice stuff or cool stuff or the latest stuff. So I can't be happy. So then we create that criteria. And then because we can't acquire something, we then think, well, there's no hope for me. I'll never be happy because I'll never be able to get good food, good friends, cars, money, right? Long list of that. I can't be happy. It's a horrible thing to believe, isn't it? Because the truth is, from the Buddhist perspective, every living being has a potential to be truly happy. Like, our potential for happiness is infinite. But we can convince ourselves that's not true if we think our potential to acquire things, you know, isn't there. I think, oh, well, then I can't be happy. The truth is, you know, like you said, superficially, it might seem that these things will make us happy, but that's not true. It's not actually true. Without a peaceful mind, they won't. I remember I used to teach at a Buddhist temple in Florida, in a town where there was a lot of people who had retired. And, you know, they were doing all the things they'd planned to do when they retired. And this one couple was coming to classes, and it was a woman and a man. And the man had acquired, I don't know if you've heard of this car called a Lotus. You heard of a Lotus? There's a few of you that are like, yeah, I've heard of a Lotus. I hadn't heard of a Lotus. I mean, I've heard of Lotus. I mean, obviously I've heard of Lotuses, right? Because it's a big thing in Buddhism, but I didn't know it was a car. So obviously they were quite well off. That was the plan, retire, buy a Lotus. I don't really want to know how much it cost, but I'm sure it was a lot of money. And so I would tease this couple, because there was a lot of conversation about this leading up to the purchase of the Lotus. And then they purchased the Lotus. And the woman would say to me when they come to classes, the female, she was like, yeah, it is a huge headache. It is such a headache, this car. And they were describing how they can't go anywhere in it because they're scared somebody's going to hit it. So, because it's a really expensive car. So, yeah, you don't think about that when you buy the car. Like, yeah, you go to the Safeway where you're going to park the car. If it's a six-figure car, are you going to park it just anywhere where somebody in a random scooter can bash into it? Like, are you going to do that? I don't know. I hadn't thought about it myself, but they would pull up on their phones. This is what I found really amusing. They would pull up pictures of how they'd parked the Lotus, because they would commonly do what they both admitted was a jerk move, I'm being polite here, which was park across three parking spots so that nobody could come within 8 feet of the Lotus. So they would take off. I'm like, you're not doing that in the Buddhist temple parking lot, are you? Because we don't have that many spots. You can't be doing that. Like, no. We don't take the Lotus here. I'm like, okay. But that was what started to happen, is there was all this stress about where can we go in the Lotus? Can we go out to dinner in the Lotus? No. Right? Where are we going to park it? I don't know. Where is the ballet going to park it? We don't know. Right? So it was really funny. By like 6 months in, they would very rarely take the car anymore. Because of this big stress. Like, where are we going to park the Lotus? So anyway, it seems like, oh, if I had a Lotus, then I'd be happy, right? Then there would be no stress. I'd just be enjoying myself, driving around. Nope. Actually, probably if you're driving around in a car that isn't worth that much, you're having a better time than the people driving around in the Lotus. You can park it. You're not so worried if somebody's going to nick it, right? You just... much more relaxed, right? Much more relaxed. So the point really is just that we have this kind of view, right? And that actually undermines our happiness, our ability to enjoy what we have when we have it, enjoy who we are when we are who we are. Like we always feel like, oh, that's not good enough because it should be different than what it is or better, you know, like I should be like so-and-so, or I should have these conditions or this kind of relationship or these kinds of friends or this kind of position, and then I'd be happy. And then we're always like a carrot on a string, making happiness something just beyond our reach, just beyond our reach. So somewhere on the distant horizon is this state of happiness that I'm like striving for, like you said, devoting all our energy to. So it says here, in recent years, our knowledge of modern technologies increased considerably, and as a result, we have witnessed remarkable material progress. But there's not been a corresponding increase in human happiness. There's no less suffering in the world today, and there are no fewer problems. Indeed, it might be said that there are now more problems and greater dangers than ever before. So it's just another point along these lines. So we've seen like pretty remarkable time in history, actually, the kind of material progress that we've made in the last, you know, 100 years is remarkable. But can we say we're happier than the generations before? Like, would we say, oh, I'm definitely more carefree, stress-free, worry-free, my quality of life so much better than, you know, my grandparents, my great grandparents, my great great grandparents, my great 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 grandparents? Like, is am I more at peace? Am I more joyful? Am I more relaxed? Do I have less worries, less concerns, less stresses, more harmony in my relationships, more mental and physical well-being? I think most of us would agree, no, that's probably not true. Like, we can't see a marked difference. Like, if I were to imagine, you know, what was my great, great, great grandmother's life like compared to mine? Yeah, very different externally, like materially, right? Like just the concept of Wi-Fi alone, right? It's completely changed reality, right? Does that mean that I am naturally happier as a person because of that than she might have been? I mean, maybe I would say because of Dharma, because of Buddha. Yeah, I'm probably maybe, but I wouldn't say because of that material progress. No, I can't say that. So I think we would agree that this is true. We've seen remarkable material progress, but it hasn't created a corresponding increase statistically in human happiness. It's not like there's less depression now than during the Great Depression, right? It's not like there's less anxiety now, or less stress now, or less anger now. Of course not. So he says, this shows that the cause of happiness and the solution to our problems do not lie in knowledge of material things. Happiness and suffering are states of mind, and so their main causes are not to be found outside the mind. If we want to be truly happy and free from suffering, we must learn how to control our mind. The real source of happiness is inner peace. If our mind is peaceful, we will be happy all the time, regardless of external conditions. But if it is disturbed or troubled in any way, we will never be happy, no matter how good our external conditions may be. External conditions can only make us happy if our mind is peaceful. So I think this is a few points that are worth considering in this idea, you know, the theme for tonight of how do I make myself happy from the standpoint of inner peace, is first just understanding that happiness and suffering are states of mind. So there is states of mind that lend themselves to an experience of happiness and states of mind that lend themselves towards an experience of suffering. And so then our approach to happiness, our approach to our personal problems, really has to be an approach that involves the mind. We can't neglect the mind and expect to achieve a state beyond sorrow or a state of permanent peace while neglecting the mind. It involves some working with the mind, or like you're saying here, learning to control, learning how to control our mind. If we understand this, the role that our mind plays in our experience, then this makes perfect sense. You know, if we can see, oh yeah, my mind's definitely playing a role. Definitely playing a role, like a starring role. A starring role in my experience of happiness or my experience of unhappiness. Then we start to take an interest in this point that Geshe Kelsang's making. If I want to be truly happy and free from suffering, right, I must learn how to control my mind. And then we think, okay, well, then that's where I'll start in my pursuit of happiness. Instead of starting our pursuit of happiness outside of ourselves, trying to acquire things, right, that we think will make us happy, we start our pursuit of happiness from the inside. And we begin to look, okay, what is going on within my mind? What states of mind are conducive to the experiences that I'm seeking? Like the satisfaction I seek, what state of mind is conducive to that? Being satisfied with myself, with my inner and outer conditions. Because it's not a state of things, it's a state of mind. Like we think, oh, I'll be satisfied and fulfilled when I've got all this stuff, right? But that's not actually true. Without that state of mind that's satisfied, it's never enough. We can always long for more or think we need more or crave more. So the truth is that satisfaction we seek, we can't find outside of ourselves.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.